Talk to you about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. And, oftentimes we, around Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving week, we make much of it. And usually we sing at count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord had done. But you see, Thanksgiving is not just for a week or a season or a Sunday. It's not just for the, the fourth Thursday of the month of November? And it's not just for that week and that particular Sunday, four after. But Thanksgiving is really something that is a characteristic of God's people. This morning we talked about the fact of that we're to be witnesses and that are, as the Lord has laid hold of us and changed our lives. One of the testimonies that I believe that we as God's people have, which speaks very loudly, is that we are constantly making references to God. And that in our vocabulary, regardless where we are, whether we're on the mountaintop or whether we're down in the valley, that from us flows constantly the fact that we're God's people, that we see ourselves under the sovereign dispensation and the sovereignty of God and the providence of God. We're constantly making connections. And I hear that when we all pray. I think the phrase that you all use here in this church is the phrase that you use. I don't use that phrase, and it's because I haven't learned it that way, but there's actually nothing wrong with that phrase. You say, God is in control. I believe that. I call it in the providence of God, which that all really means the same thing, is that God is in charge in the affairs of men and nations, and that he is under that, that we're under that control. Isn't that wonderful to know? That we know that. I mean, we know that. We're not just simply left like a piece of driftwood on the ocean of life, tossed to and fro without an anchor. We're not left up to chance or the luck and the whim of this or that. Aren't you glad of that? That we know that, yes, there is a God of this world, you see, who has a much influence and impact. But, folks, I want you to know that Satan is but like a bulldog on a leash, and when God yanks on that leash, enough is enough, and that we find that God is sovereign and control even over evil. And so that's wonderful for us to know. Tonight I want to just speak briefly on this thing of giving thanks. It's all throughout the Scriptures. Maybe do you have a verse of Scripture that you can think about that thinks and speaks of thanksgiving? If you do, I want to give you an opportunity to look it up, and then we'll read it. You can read it and mention it. But there are a couple of them that come to my mind. The one is in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And there he speaks of, well, I want to read in verses 15 on down to the verse 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, whereunto be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And look at this next statement. Giving thanks always for some things, giving thanks always for many things, giving thanks for a variety of things. What's he saying? But giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, what a powerful statement. And so he tells us, here's how we ought to live our lives. We live our lives not as fools, circumspectly. We're redeeming the time. We know the days are evil. And we're not unwise, and we understand we always contemplate the will of God. We're not under the influence of being intoxicated things, but that we are filled with the Spirit and that we speak to each other, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Ken, I appreciate you leading the music and singing and songs. Brother Bill Horton, we thank you when you're willing to jump in the middle of it and you lead our congregation in the hymns and songs. And it's a wonderful thing. And then, of course, in all of that, we stop and we give thanks for all things. Did you find anybody find any verses of Scriptures that deal with thanksgiving? Anybody? Yes,
Psalms 107:1, give thanks to the Lord
Amen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen. Psalms 107. Anybody else? No, that's okay. Okay. I think we probably got, that's right. There you are, isn't it? There you got your sister helping you. Okay, anybody else? Amen. When you talk about the Apostle Paul, here's the man. He's locked up in prison, isn't it? And he writes his Philippian letter, and he talks about the fact, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Okay, anybody else? Okay, with thanksgiving. That's, and folks, and I believe that we're learning to do that, is that in life's valleys and difficulties, the narrow path, the things that we face, that it is mixed with thanksgiving, because we know that God is in control, God is sovereign, his providence will provide, he orders and he protects. Anybody else? Amen. I want you to know, I am eagerly anticipating that day when from every kindred and every tribe and every tongue we stand before the Lord and we see him no longer with the eye of faith, but we see him as he is. And I mean, we're going to say glory and honor and thanksgiving and blessings belong to him. That is going to be some worship service. Anybody else? Boy, now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Is that not a mouthful? In all circumstances, we read and that we give thanks always for all things, and that means including all circumstances. You see, the Christian life, anybody else? You got one? We want to just go ahead and mention that. But the scriptures is really, which one?
115.
Uh-huh. Amen. And isn't that a wonderful thing that we know that? And when you begin to read that and you see that very plainly and clearly, is that the Apostle Paul understood that God's people are what they are because it is God that laid hold of them and saved them. We thank our God upon you. Wonderful. Anybody else? Amen. Hebrews 13:15. Boy, that is good. Anybody else? I don't want to leave anybody out. You know, it goes right along with the fact, and of course, you see, it's all connected with. Now, folks, I want us to stay away from this nonsense that when you go through difficult times and there is pain, that somebody asks you and they say, well, how are you doing? And you just kind of jumping and leaping up and down as I'm doing just great. I believe, let me tell you where you see, I'll come to you in just a second, where you see exactly what we're talking about, you see it concretely in funerals. Christian funerals. When you see those that are standing around a casket of a loved one, when you see a wife that is burying her husband, that in the Lord, you see the sorrow that is real. We sorrow not as others who have no hope, but we sorrow knowing that those who have been called and who have left, you see, the Lord has called, we know they are joined to the Lord Jesus, and I will see them again. I mean, you see that clearly when there is Christians, how they respond to tragedy. They respond, you see, to the tragedy and the loss and the grief and the hurt and all that is necessary at the same time. And you know, oftentimes we don't have answers. How we find and we quote Romans chapters 8:28. I mean, we quote that and we say, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. We quote James chapter 1 and we say, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. We count it as joy. We quote it and we know it, you see, at the same time we know that here are difficult times, but we know God is sovereign and he rules and he orders all things. And that's a marvelous thing to know. You had, Trevor, you had one back there? Well, that's a really interesting verse of Scripture. Did you all hear that one? Luke chapter 18 and verse, what's the verse?
11.
Okay, 18 verse 11. And of course, that's a prayer of a self-righteous man that is counting all of his things before the eyes of God. And he said, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this one, this sinner. That's the wrong kind of thankfulness, isn't it? I mean, he looked in the mirror, and you know what he said? You know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? And he looked at himself, I'm a pretty good old boy. I'm not as bad as other people, and I thank God for that. The Christian, and Trevor, and I tell you what, I appreciate your effort. The Christian is one who is constantly grateful for the fact that he knows how the grace of God has been applied to his life, what the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ means to him. Did not the Apostle Paul say, O wretched man that I am, who shall save me from this body of this death? Do you all remember that one? And do you remember what he said in the next statement, the next verse? What did he say? I thank God. God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And so the Christian is one who is able to see and to properly assess the grace and the mercy of God, that when he looks at others who are, you see, desperately wicked and sinful, that he is able to say, there go I, but by the grace of God, I thank God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a marvelous thing, isn't it? And so the Christian is not one who ever walks around and says, you know, hey, look at me. The self-righteous, the self-made, the self-sufficient, the self. And you see, I believe that the Christian, you see, gratitude is really a life's attitude. What do you think? It is a life's attitude, and that, you see, I want to say that thanksgiving, you see, God's people are the only people that really, truly understand God, who he is, and God, what he does. What do you think? Do you know Christian people, believers, we're the only ones that really understand. The rest of the world really lays in spiritual darkness with blinded eyes, like the one, Trevor, that you just got through reading. He's the one that walks around and he compares himself to those that are lesser than him. And then you see he has an understanding. Oh, look at me, how good I am, and I'm glad I'm not as wicked as this guy. Those that live on the basis of self-accomplishment and say, look what my hands have done, what my wisdom and my time and my efforts. Or they say, I'm lucky and I'm fortunate. But the Christian is the only one that truly understands and perceives that all that he has and all that he possesses is that which God has given him. What do you think? You know, this is a wonderful nation to live in, isn't it? Is it not? Do you know when Paul stands at Mars Hill there in Acts chapter 17? And there he speaks of the sovereignty of God, and he speaks of God who has appointed bounds around all of the people and nationalities and their habitation. Then I'm thinking, is it not a marvelous thing to be an American, to live on this continent and to have and enjoy all that we have at our fingertips? Is that not a marvelous thing? Is it not? And the life, you see, that we have, and the birth that we have, the nationalities that we have, and the abilities that we have, and the gender, and the gifts, and the graces, all that we have, that we can say, all of these are blessings that are bestowed upon us by our God, and all of those things come from God. The Lord, He is the Savior of all men, especially to them of the household of faith, that when we think about that, what do we have at our fingertips that other people do not have? You know, we drive through communities, and I mean almost every other block, every other third block, there's a church on the corner. Look through the yellow pages and thumb through, there are literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches. And then you have places like the Haitians, where I understand that recently that they had a voodoo conference, a worldwide conference where people came together. And they're talking about all kinds of mysticisms and all kinds of evil stuff. And then here we are, we're in a place, and that we realize that what we have at our fingertips, and that when I think about our children and grandchildren that are growing up in an environment where the gospel still is preached, is that not a marvelous thing? That I can say, Lord, I thank you in your mercy and grace that I'm an American. And there are people who are around the globe that live in jungles who will never hear the words of the gospel. And then here we are. The gospel sound is being preached and proclaimed clearly and plainly, week in and week out. And there are people who are in darkness, and who have never heard, and who most likely never will hear, and will pass from this life. And they will stand before God, and God, He's just going to say, you're joined and connected to Adam. You're a sinner. You're constituted a sinner. You've seen the handiwork of a God that has created. You've worshipped the creature rather than the Creator. And folks, you cannot get away from that. And that what we understand and what we see is that which God has given us for us to understand and to see. Now, is that not a humbling truth? Is it not? And when we think about the relationship that we have with God and that our Heavenly Father, and that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, our elder brother, and our standing, our access, and our hope, and our future, and our peace, and all that we enjoy. There's a passage of Scripture that we find in the Gospel of Matthew where the Lord Jesus is saying to His disciples in chapter 13, He says, verse 11, He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. And then later on in that very same chapter, He says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And then He says in verse 16 of that very same chapter, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and do hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. And why is it that we understand? Because the Lord has revealed them unto us. You remember the studies that we've been in, and we're still in 1 Corinthians, where he talks about the fact that, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And you remember that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. And so we understand. Is that not a grand thing? Is that, there are things and truths that we know and understand? That God's our creator? That the land that we live in is because God in his sovereignty has placed us here. The parents that we have are those that God has given us. The freedoms that we enjoy and the blessings that we have. And folks, you cannot close your eyes to the fact to say, you know, as we sing, you know, God bless America. And when you think about the hand of God upon this nation, and I mean we are, Ken, you've prayed a little while ago, that for decades we have drifted away from that, and we're drifting away from that God-centered, you see, understanding of God's involvement in this nation. But you cannot get away from the fact that, you see, why is it that this nation has been blessed like it has been blessed? And when you compare ourselves to other nations and other peoples and lands in different places around the globe, let me tell you what, if you want to complain, have you ever complained here in the United States? You complained about this and you complained about that, and this is too high and you can't get this and they don't have that. And I mean, on and on and on. Anybody ever complain? Anybody ever complain? Standing in line and, you know, maybe you don't have this and that. All you have to do, I want to just simply say to you, leave these shores and go somewhere else. You don't have to go very far. Go on, go south. Go across into Mexico and then go across Central America and visit some of those places. And then I want to tell you something. Then you're reminded in a hurry that you see what we have at our fingertips, the conveniences and the blessings and all that we have. And you say, well, we've worked for it, we've earned it, and we've worked hard. Yes, we have. But it is God that has blessed it all. And that when you begin to see all that we have and the comforts of it all, and what a grand, grand thing. And that, you see, it's the thanksgiving that we read for is not just for the positive blessings, but you see, the thanksgiving is that which we offer in all times. Boy, that's where it gets hard, doesn't it? Is that you see a grateful heart when we go through difficult times and valleys, that we can say that I know who has this world in his hand, and I know that he has me in his hand, even though I don't see, you see, right before my eyes, how anything can come from all of that, these difficult times, that I can say, I thank my God upon the fact for all of it. And as we sing, count your blessings. I was thinking about that the other day, that, you know, sitting down just simply counting the blessings, little things. And a couple of days ago, you notice, Luke, I call him Lucas. That's the German pronunciation for Luke. He had surgery a couple of days ago. And I was praying and I was just thanking the Lord for church and church family. And I was thinking about the different families and family members. And then I come to little Lucas. I was praying for him in his surgery. He had his tonsils removed and his, some other stuff done. And I was thanking the Lord of the affections that little boy has shown. And he calls me Pastor Haling. And I mean, from day one, ever since the McGeehee's been here in this church, from day one, this little boy has just literally gravitated and has run to me. And I was praying, Lord, how do I and why is it that I deserve these affections from a little boy, these affections that are so genuine and remarkable? And I just thank the Lord for it. Little tiny things. And so on one hand, you perhaps go through some difficult times and valleys, but then on the other hand, when you begin to think about and look at it all, and you start evaluating it all, aren't there a lot of things that so literally quicken and warm your heart to see how God has blessed you? And you see, thanking God is where you literally stop and you see the hand of God in your life. And so that ought to be an occupation of ours
that we do that. Think about it in everything that we do and how we respond in all that we do. You remember how Job responded, that after one messenger after the other one came, there was not a man like Job on the earth. That, I mean, he worshiped God and he sacrificed not only for him, and he offered up praises and thanksgivings not only for him but also for his family. And you all remember how Satan comes to God and he said, well, Job, you know, the reason he does that is because, God, you're doing this for him and you've put a hedge around him and you touch him. You all know the end of that story. And how Job lost his family, he lost his possessions, and he lost it all. And what did Job and how did Job respond? What did he say? His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? And he responded, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And as we live our lives and things go haywire and things don't go our way the way we want us to, they think that we want us to, it want to go for us, that I believe that as we preach this morning, a testimony wherever we are is that we can respond with an attitude where people say, yes, this has affected this person very greatly and it is very costly to him. The loss is real and great, but he has not lost his head. He still has a proper vision and he still has God in his perspective. And then you can understand when the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians, let your moderations be made known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And then he says, by prayer and supplications make your requests known unto God. In the verse before that, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says, let your moderations be made known unto all men. Meaning by it, let your self-control be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Meaning by that, the way Robert Haling interprets that is, don't pull out your hair. Don't lose your head. Don't, you see, throw up your arms and say, what are we going to do now? And being all beside yourself and hopeless, you know, let your self-control be made known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. He is near. So how do we handle it? And I think it's the passage that Heidi quoted, that by prayer, let your request be made known unto God. And he says, what did he say? Prayer, supplications, thanksgiving. And then he says, the verse after that, and what's going to happen? The peace of God that passeth all understanding shall what? Keep your heart and mind in the Lord Jesus. So I want to say to you, Calvary Baptist Church, what a marvelous task that we have. How is it that we can do that and be thankful in all things? How is it? Because you see, we are the only people on the face of the earth that really truly understand what life's all about. In it. We understand who the giver is. And we understand who the controller is. We understand who boss is. We understand who has the world in his hands. We understand that. We understand in whose hands we are. We understand his purposes in our lives. We understand that he's actively involved in our lives. Teresa, he's not done until he's done. He's not going to call us until he calls us. When he calls us, it's graduation day. It's not until then that he's busy and about perfecting that which concerns him. And that I can say, I thank my God. I thank him in all things. And that as we live our lives with our neighbors, and if there's a loss, and if there's a disappointment, if there's a grief, if there's a setback, and that in all of that, that as we respond to that, is that not a real testimony? And people look at that and they say,
I don't understand how they respond like that. They're absolutely amazed that there is a calmness about it. The heart is bleeding, the loss is real, but there is a calmness about it. Why? Because God is in control. He's the one that saved us and called us. And he's busy and about. And so I want to say to you, that what a marvelous occupation that the Lord has called us to. And that's to give thanks. Anybody here tonight that want to stand and get on your feet and say, I want to give thanks to the Lord for this? Anybody? Anybody else?
I want to thank God for I want to thank God for how my son is responding to all that he's going through.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes, Travis. Amen. We thank the Lord for you too. Aren't you glad that when you look around and you see what the Larry Foster's testimony this morning when he's talking about that, you know, and we're not aware of that, but they're in lots of churches. They've done lots of seminars and lots of counseling seminars and marriage seminars. And he talked about the racial of, did I say that right? The racial of men with women. Most of the churches, you have more women than you have men. And he's just simply amazed. I think we've got as many men here as we have women. Amen. That's wonderful. Thank you, Travis. Anybody else?
Didn't used to be that way, by the way.
Anybody else? Amen. We thank the Lord for young people, children, teenagers. Ken, do you think you can come up here in a minute and lead us? That one song has been going in my mind ever since I was thinking about preaching here from this text. Give thanks with a thankful heart.